This year, we are going to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation movement. And God willing, we will commemorate this Reformation movement in the month of October. But leading up to that, we have catered a series of messages on the last days. And the reason why we want to ponder upon this theme of the last days leading up to the Reformation movement is because we want to see what is the state of Christianity today since the Reformation movement. We want to see how far we have come. Where do we stand today? Have we progressed or have we regressed? The consideration of this theme, the last days, is to remind us that we are living in most urgent times. And also to challenge us so that when we commemorate the Reformation movement, when we realize the urgency of the time and the days we are living in, it would spur us on, challenge us to look on, look forward to a 21st century Reformation. Now the word last that is used here in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 2, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, this word last that is used to describe the last days, you see in verse 2, the Bible says, hath in these last days, and this is the theme for this whole series, this word last that is used in the Bible is from where we get the English word for eschatology. Eschatology is literally the study of the last things, and it concerns the study of the end times. This word last that is used in the Bible is used to describe that which is furthest or the last in the series of events or in the series of items. And when it's used in reference to days, in God's divine timeline, these last days would describe the last part of God's divine timetable. Now the question is, what does this phrase, last days, describe? Does this phrase refer merely to the end of time? That is what many of us would think, that this phrase, last days, refers to the end of times, the end of days, something that is still to be in the future, something that is still yet to come. Yet when we read the Bible, we realize that this phrase, the last days, was used in the Bible to describe events and a time that was already in the days of the apostles. For example, the apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. You don't have to turn to that, but in 1 John chapter 2 verse 18, apostle John would say, "Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." So even in the days of the apostles, like in the days of Apostle John, he said that it was already the last time. So exactly when did these last days begin? And that is where our text now comes in. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, the author and the writer of the book of Hebrews wanted to remind us that we are living in most urgent times. Now you notice that the book of Hebrews, unlike the other epistles which were written in the New Testament, it does not have any introduction. It does not have any greeting. The writer does not even address or identify himself. He does not describe whom he is addressing to. Of course, we know from the context of the book of Hebrews, and as suggested by the book of Hebrews itself, is written to the Hebrews, that is, the Jewish Christians in particular. But the writer doesn't introduce or identify any of these things. He goes straight into the message, hence showing the urgency, how passionate he wants to bring this truth across to God's people. Now, the book of Hebrews is written particularly to Jewish Christians to encourage them, encouraging them in particular to persevere in the faith. This is one of the key themes in the book of Hebrews, which is why you would see the chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11, the heroes of faith. And in chapter 12, the writer of the book of Hebrews would challenge the Christians to persevere, to endure in the faith, to run the race with patience. Now, this is the emphasis of the book of Hebrews. Why? Why did the writer have to emphasize this? Perhaps many of the Jewish Christians, they were enduring very difficult times, persecutions and temptations. Some of these Jewish Christians, they were tempted to return back to their old Jewish ways. Now, of course, compared to Judaism, you realize Christianity does not have a lot of physical objects or physical things that you can look at, that you can touch or feel. But for the Jewish religion, they would actively participate in this worship with their hands. They would bring their sacrifices. They would see the sacrifices being offered. They can smell the incense. All these things would be very physical and apparent to them. But when they became Christian, a lot of these things are no more. And some of these Christians could wonder, how do I know that my faith is real? How do I know that my faith is true? And they may be tempted to return to their old Jewish ways in the face of persecution. Which was why the writer had to write this book of Hebrews in order to encourage them to persevere on in the faith. And the first thing which he begins, as he begins to introduce the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, is that he introduces to us this thought of the last days. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. In other words, the writer of the book of Hebrews acknowledges that we are living in very difficult time. We are living in troublesome time. We are living in the last days. But yet, he wants to encourage us with all that is written in this book. He wants to remind us that Christ is still the Supreme One. He would describe how Christ is superior to the prophets of old. He would describe how Christ is superior to the angels. Because while angels are but messengers and ministering spirits, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. He would show us how the Lord Jesus Christ is superior to Moses. He gave us true rest. He will show us how the Lord Jesus Christ has a superior priesthood, a priesthood that's superior to Aaron's priesthood. The Lord Jesus Christ is superior to all the sacrificial system, the whole sacrifices of the Old Testament, because he is truly the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Supreme One. And he begins all these themes with just this very simple thought, that in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. In other words, the first thing that we can see from this, as we consider the beginning of these last days, is that the last days, the beginning of it, is marked by the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when did the last days begin? Some may think that it is still something in the future. When we think of the last days, we think that it is the end times. But really, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 tells us that the last days has already begun in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see that. In verse 1, the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that God at sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Now, the sundry times here simply describes various times. Okay, sundry times means God who at various times, various occasions, and in diverse manner, simply means in many ways, he spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets. There's a contrast here. There was a time where God revealed himself progressively. There was a time where God revealed himself through prophets, through visions and dreams, through various ways. But the contrast is this. In these last days, the writer says, he has spoken unto us by his Son. That is, when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed who God is, when the Lord Jesus Christ came in his first coming, in his incarnation, He revealed who God is. And in that first coming, the Lord Jesus Christ had already ushered in, introduced, inaugurated the last days. So when did the last days begin? It is when the Lord Jesus Christ came in his first coming. Now, the last days, one of the themes that you would see both in the Old Testament and the New, when these last days is described, it is described, especially in the Old Testament, as a very glorious day. It is described as a time where God will establish his kingdom on earth. And what this means is that when the Lord Jesus Christ came in his first coming, he has already inaugurated his kingdom, initiated his kingdom. He has already begun to establish his kingdom on earth. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, the emphasis that we see in the Bible is that the Lord Jesus Christ came as a suffering servant, not as the glorious king. But please do not misunderstand this truth to mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was not king when he came. It is indeed true that the Lord Jesus Christ came as a suffering servant. Yet we also see that throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself to be king. In fact, the Gospel writers often make reference to Old Testament prophecies regarding the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the Gospel of Matthew, in introducing the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, it traced it to David, king, emphasizing how the Lord Jesus Christ comes from the line of David, this royal line, the line of Judah, the tribe of Judah, emphasizing that the Lord Jesus Christ is king. When the Bible prophesied in the place of birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, no doubt it's a lowly birth, but it's also the birth of a king. Hence, even when the wise men came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, they worshipped him, acknowledging him to be king. Yes, while the Lord Jesus Christ came in his first coming as a suffering servant, do not forget that he is also king. Do you remember also how John chapter 12 verse 14 tells us that Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass." And in the Gospels, when Pilate asked if the Lord Jesus Christ is king, he simply replied, "Thou hast said," acknowledging that he is indeed king. Now, in other words, what we see from this is that the last days would be when God establishes his kingdom. Yes, there will come a time where God will establish his kingdom physically on earth. But in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the incarnation of Christ, he is already king. And he has already initiated the last days, ushered in the last days, preparing for the time of the culmination of events, which will be the end of the last days. So when did the last days begin? It is marked by the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this fits a lot of the prophecy that we see in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Daniel. Remember in the book of Daniel when there was the image of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Or rather Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? When the image of Nebuchadnezzar, in the sense that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of that image. And then he dreamt of the head that is made out of gold, and then the chest made out of silver, and the loins made out of bronze, and the legs made out of iron, and the feet part iron, part clay. And then later on, there was a stone that came to destroy this whole image. Later on, when God revealed the meaning of this dream, when Daniel gave the interpretation of it, he says that this stone that is cut out of the mountains without hands, which break in pieces the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the Bible says the great God has made known to the king, what shall come to pass hereafter, and this dream is certain. And the Bible says that this is the kingdom that shall not be left to any other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The emphasis is on how this stone that will come will be the true king that would destroy and break in pieces all other kingdoms that came before it. And whose kingdom is this? It is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ ushered this in, even in his first coming. Yes, we do not see the kingdom in its physical form yet, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come only in his second coming to establish his physical kingdom on earth. But nevertheless, he has already ushered in these last days in his first coming. Now, what is left is for the Lord in his own time, in the fullness of time, to return and to establish his kingdom on earth, ruling from Israel. So the first thing that we need to understand is that these last days, the beginning of it, it is marked by the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you notice that in these two verses, in verses 1 and 2, the emphasis here is on how in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. And that's the second truth that we see concerning the last days. The Bible often describes the last days as troublesome time, frightening time, a time that is perilous, dangerous. But how are we to prepare for these last days? What we see is that in these last days, God has given to us his word clearly. That's the second truth that we see. In other words, in preparing for these last days, God has revealed to us his word. Now, as explained in verse 1, the sundry times and diverse manners here, right? You notice that in verse 1, that God used to speak to us in time past, in the prophets. This would include visions, dreams, divine intervention in various forms and ways. These were the sundry times and the diverse manner, right? In many times. And this revelation was revealed progressively. That is, Abraham had less revelation than Moses. Because Abraham, in his time, he did not even have the scriptures written for him. He had to understand the will of God through visions and dreams. But Moses, when the Lord asked him to write the scriptures through dictation, that is when scriptures began to be written. Subsequently, when more and more prophets were sent, and there were the writing prophets who wrote scriptures, then revelation is progressively revealed unto us. More and more concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. More and more concerning God's plan for the future. This is what we mean by progressive revelation. So revelation was given progressively. But what the Bible now contrasts is this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, in his first coming, God has spoken to us through his Son. Hence, in other words, what the Bible is emphasizing is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the supreme revelation of God. Now, the apostles who were appointed to write scriptures, they are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words of scripture are really the words of Christ. Do you realize, for example, when you come to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, you notice that the book of Revelation is introduced as the revelation of Jesus Christ. This was the vision, the revelation which God gave to Apostle John to write. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the culmination of all of God's revelation from time past. Not only did he fulfill prophecies of old, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he will also now, through the disciples and the writing of scripture, complete the canon for us. Such that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He is the true revelation, as well as He has left for us His words. Now, when we study the many events of the last days, the many things that are going to happen, we are going to study what the Bible tells us concerning the last days. And this is why the word that God has given to us concerning the last days is so precious, so meaningful to us. If we are just left on our own to try to figure out and think what the last days would be like, perhaps many of us would be frightened or afraid or fearful. We do not know what to expect. We do not know what to think. But God has given to us in His Word all that we need to know concerning the last days. Which is why in the next few weeks, as we consider the last days and even each of these movements, these various movements, we're going to consider it in light of Scripture. What does the Bible say concerning each of these movements? What the last days would be like? Do you know that all these things have been prophesied and told to us in Scripture? In these last days, God has not left us directionless. God has given to us a clear purpose for His children, what we ought to do, how we ought to live. Even in the urgency of the time that we are living in, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to relate to our fellow men, how we ought to regard the various movements that is now going on in Christianity. How do we understand all these things? The Word of God reveals to us all these things. And these are the words of Christ. In the last days, God has revealed His word clearly. Now, this was the struggle which Daniel had when God first granted him a glimpse of the future. Oftentimes, when he had a glimpse of the future, he was fearful. He did not know how to react initially until God had to lift him up and strengthen him again and comfort him with His words. Comfort him with words of glorious hope, of promise. And then we see that the wise men in the book of Daniel, they kept the word of God. That was one of the themes that was mentioned there. So it is for us, in the last days, it is an urgent time. It's dangerous, perilous time. But how are we supposed to find our direction or our purpose in these last days? The Word of God guides us. And the next few weeks, as we continue to look to the Word of God, now I pray that as we learn these things, we would see how we are able to live and conduct ourselves in these last days. But there's a third truth. Not only do we have the Word of God to guide us, to understand the things that will go on in the last days. The Bible also tells us, in the last days, the Lord Jesus Christ is our assurance. Now, even when we read Scriptures, the things that the Word of God reveals to us concerning the last days, will it invoke fear in your hearts? Well, it should, because there are indeed terrible things that are to come, which the Bible describes. Increased wickedness, blasphemy, sinfulness, false teachers. Indeed, there are many fearful things which the Bible speaks of concerning the last days. But this is where verse 3 and verse 4 also now comes in. Because the Bible now says that in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. But who is His Son? Now the Bible tells us that in these last days, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And the writer here now goes on to describe the character of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That even when we are living in the last days, this should be our confidence and our hope. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, in the second part of verse 2, you notice the Bible first says that in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Right? So first, There are seven things that are mentioned here, and the first thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with us in these last days, He is the heir of all things. Now, the heir of all things here means that the Lord Jesus Christ will possess all things. He owns everything. All things belong to Him. There is an idea here where it means that all things will also fall under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know when we look at the world today, it does not seem like all things are coming under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that God is always in control, that the Lord Jesus Christ is authority indeed. But humanly speaking, from our eyes, the physical eyes, when we look at the world, we still see rulers in control and rulers making a mess of the nations in this world. We still see men in power. But the Bible tells us and reminds us that even in the last days, when you see many things unfolding, remember, Christ is the heir of all things. All things still are under His control. Yes, now all things are still under His control. All things are still subject to Him. But in a clearer, brighter, fuller way, one day, when the Lord Jesus Christ descends again, all things will come under His complete control, where everyone will acknowledge that He is Lord. He is the heir of all things. Do you know that this same Christ is with you even in these last days? Not only that, the Bible goes on to say the second thing, the Lord Jesus Christ is also the one who made the world. The last part of verse 2, by whom also He made the worlds. Now the worlds here in plural describe the ages. And these ages here would describe all of the whole universe, including all of time and space. That is, throughout all ages, the world. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ made the worlds. Hence, He's in control of all things which would unfold in the world. Not only is He in control over the physical world, He's also in control of all things that would unfold in time, in ages. The Lord Jesus Christ made time. This is what it means. He's beyond time, which is why He can be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, even in the last days, you know, when we study these things that will come, the second world, one world government, the ye have God said, the deception that is in the world, when we see the modern movements, yes, it must give us a sense of urgency, but do not be anxious. When we study eschatology, yes, we see the urgency of the times, but do not be anxious. It is not to cause us to be so fearful, to cripple us, that we become so frightened, but it's to remind us that we can only look to the one who is in control, the one who made the worlds, including the time, the ages. The third thing the Bible reminds us of, who is with us in these last days? In verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. Now, this word brightness is a rare word in the Bible that is used only once in the Bible. It literally has the meaning of the radiance. The brightness here is not the one that is used only once. Okay, the next one, the express image is used only once. Okay, the brightness here is used several times in the Bible to describe the radiance. Okay, it refers to the glory which shines forth. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a glimpse of that glory in His transfiguration. But the fullness of Christ's glory would be revealed to us when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Now, in these last days, yes, at times, we may not seem to be able to see the glory of Christ yet. But do not fear. Christ would reveal His glory soon. And even in the eyes of faith, we can see His glory in His work. We can see His glory in the gospel, the brightness of God's glory. And then the fourth thing. Now the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the express image of His person. Now this is the word that is used only once in the Bible. This word means the exact representation. Now it literally means engraving. Okay, that's the word here. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the engraving of God's person. Now this is an interesting word because in Greek, this word is used to describe the engraving in a coin. In olden times, as well as in some countries today, royalties may like to engrave their own image on a coin. That is the idea. The Lord Jesus Christ is the exact representation. Now, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals to us the true nature of who God is. The true person of who God is. His character in His fullness. In terms of His justice, in terms of His goodness, His holiness, His love, His compassion, His mercy. In terms of His wisdom, His power. The Lord Jesus Christ is the exact representation of who God is. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is with us even in these last days? When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up into glory, this was the promise that He left with His disciples. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He has left with us His comforter, no doubt. But the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ also promised us that He still walks with us. He communes with us. Fifth, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ upholding all things by the word of His power. In the middle part of verse 3, right? Upholding all things by the word of His power. Here this word to uphold doesn't just mean to sustain in a very static, passive manner, but it means to carry forward on its appointed course. That's the idea of upholding. Where the Lord Jesus Christ uphold and He moves things on. Now when we see things that is unfolding in the world, there are some who are very fearful and frightened and they say that, oh, the earth is going to die soon. And then there are many movements that will try to save the world, save the earth. Now of course, as human beings, we ought to be responsible. But some take it to the extreme. Cannot eat this, cannot eat that, must plant this, must plant that, and things like that. But who is the one? Sometimes are you afraid? What if by 2050? Oh, they say, what if by 2050 we run out of all the resources? Nobody says that, okay, by the way, the 2050 is just an arbitrary number. Okay, but let's say, you know, if somebody does a research and say by 2050 we run out of fuel in this world and things like that, then how? Would you be fearful? They say by don't know which year the sun may drift so far away or things like that. But do you know who is the one who upholds all things? Who is the one who still carries things forward? That even if the world were to destroy itself or be destroyed, it's only God who can destroy it. And it's God's timing where He would destroy it. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, upholds all things. Sixth thing, the Bible says, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The last part of verse 3, He is the one who Himself has purged our sins. To purge our sins means to be made purification, the purification for our sin. There is only hope, comfort and assurance in the last days if you have Christ as the purification for your sin. Only if you are a child of God, only if you are a born-again Christian, can this assurance, comfort and hope be for you. The Bible makes a very clear distinction between what will happen to the unbelieving ones in the last days. Judgment will come upon them. They would be humbled. They will be brought down low even in their pride. They have to face the wrath of God. That is what the Bible describes and declares concerning things that will unfold in the last days. Now, these things are not meant, not just to frighten you, but this is the truth. And it ought to instill terror in you with a fear for God that you will turn and seek Him. We need to realize that the last days are a very urgent time. And we are already living in these last days. And man cannot find hope in mountains or in caves or in possessions or in pleasure. We cannot find hope in anywhere else. We can only find our comfort, assurance, and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the purification for sin. Why does God have to destroy the world? We are going to study that at the end of this whole series. It will be the days of Noah and of Lot. And when you look and you study the days of Noah and of Lot, you see how the world was filled with sin. Sin was in its fullness. The wickedness was in its fullness. Why does God have to destroy this whole world? You see all the things that have happened to this earth. Wherever man goes, when you see beautiful mountains, hills, and green plains, whenever man settles there, man would bring a destructiveness to that place. Why? Because that is the sinfulness of man. Man's sin has destroyed the earth, which is why God has to ultimately, finally, destroy this whole earth and recreate this whole earth. It's the sin of man. But in these last days, you can have hope if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I do not know whether there are any amongst us here this evening who do not realize and see the urgency of the time. Would you not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only purification for your sin, that even in the last days, we can have comfort and rest? The last thing that the Bible then says is that the Lord Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Here, when the Lord Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, it describes how Christ has completed His work. At the same time, this is the place of honor. This is the place of authority. He sat down on the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ still is in control. He rules over all. Now, each of these expressions here, they emphasize the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They emphasize the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel that in the last days, it is troublesome time? Indeed, it is. It is frightening time. It's time most uncertain. The world is becoming more and more confusing. Things are becoming more and more complicated. Technology has not helped us. It has only harmed us and hurt us. More and more, this world will lead up to the end of time. But the Lord Jesus Christ is with us still. The Lord Jesus Christ has ushered in the last days in His first coming. But as He ushered in those days, God has given us His word to guide us. But not only has He given to us His written word to guide us, we also have the living word who walks with us even through the last days. The Lord Jesus Christ is the excellent one. He's superior. Now, verse 4 simply declares that the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the angels. Why? Because angels are messengers. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the superior, the supreme messenger, because He brings forth a message concerning Himself. He is both the message and the messenger. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? The beginning of the last days, the Lord Jesus Christ ushered it in. But the comfort and the blessed hope is that He's still with us today. For those who are the child of God, you can rest in His control, in His sovereign hand. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, when we look at the things that are unfolding before our eyes, the chaos and the turmoil in this world, and we see what thy word says concerning the times, we indeed see that this is the last days we are living in. And O Lord, even when we look at these things, some of our hearts may still be stubborn and cold, unmoved. We still are busy hasting on to our own pleasures, our own enjoyments, our selfish ambitions and gain. And O Lord, we pray that thou will warn us of these things, stir our hearts, that in the seeing of the urgency of the times, we would now wake up out of our slumber. But there may be some also whose heart may be fearful, frightened, troubled at these things which would soon unfold. O Lord, then we pray that thou will comfort us in thy word and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray for any who are amongst us here this evening who still do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their sacrifice, as their hope and their salvation. May you move their hearts tonight. But for us who have already believed in Christ, grant us the quiet confidence, the peace in our hearts to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has authority over all. He is the glorious King, the one who rules over all, and he will unfold his purpose and his plan in his good time. So, Lord, help us to look at the Supreme One, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy word that thou hast given to us this evening. May you keep thy word in our hearts. For we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.